You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. And welcome, After Buzzers, to the sixth episode of the third season of Showtime's Homeland. Episode entitled, Still Positive. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Hi, I'm Lauren Leonelli.
I'm Nando Velasquez. I'm Stephon Wallace.
Stephon Wallace is joining us.
Yeah.
The newest member to the crew. So let's jump right into this, guys, because... It wasn't so much espionage, but there was, like, some operational things going on with this whole Javadi situation. We pretty much take off from last episode with the whole lie detector test.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Carrie in this house with no furniture.
On the eighth hole of the southeast end of the golf course.
It was the ninth hole of
whatever.
This northwest hole.
It was the northwest side.
It was the ninth
sorry,
hole.
But
anyway.
I know she's stealth and all, but how the hell do you know that?
Yeah, when you're a CIA operative, that
I'm
was
surprised
a,
she didn't give like the longitude and the latitude, the like, and it's for whatever. That was a little too specific for my liking, but hey, she's good at what she does.
Well, when she was taking the test, do you think she was a little too aggressive, being in the position that she was in? Like,
that's just Carrie. I feel like she's aggressive all the time. Anytime
she
she's in anything,
she's aggressive.
It's a part of her bipolar disorder.
They really trip. Yeah, they.
We'll talk about that later.
That was a joke, by the way.
That was a joke.
Stephon.
I mean,
OMG.
2 minutes on the show. He just
went there like,
hey.
Already.
Emails and texts to Stephon.
That lie detector test, I like what they did. You know, they do a lot of plot twists and a lot of like get you on the edge of your seat throughout this whole entire show. And that was like the first one in the first like couple minutes. They really made you feel like she is going to fail. Something's going wrong. He has total control. She's nervous. Mm. He's on to her. And then she freaking unplugged that stuff and was like, hey, you listen here.
Yeah.
And he took that big gulp.
It was like surgery. She got the people out of the room.
Yeah. Right.
You know, she I think actually the fact that she didn't take her meds at the end of last episode, we were talking a little bit about that and how she seemed extra nervous.
Yeah.
Perhaps possibly because of that. I think that also added to the lie detector because it actually got her more, you know, she says she's she loses her edge a little bit when she's on the meds.
Yeah, which we do know that there has been people who have taken bipolar meds, and they say that some say that it makes them feel cloudy or
kind of
not clear or dulls the senses.
Yeah.
Some have said that. That's not everybody who takes bipolar meds, but that's what we're thinking is why she's not taking them. We find out later why she really isn't. Yeah,
taking them,
or what we can assume is the reason why.
Let's get off that because I want to start talking about bipolar disorder. If we start like tiptoeing around it, I want to save it for later.
Don't tiptoe around
it. Okay, fine. Let's talk about it a little bit. We've been getting some comments this past week, and there's one in particular that I saw on iTunes that said that we are assumption based when it comes to bipolar disorder. We are assumption based and ignorant, and I want to address that and say yes, we are ignorant when it comes to that. We are assumption based, but at the same time, we're also not medical staff here. No one here claims to have a medical degree. We're talking about a TV show.
Yes,
and that person in reference said that something was said last week that I actually listened to the whole show twice just to make sure that what she said was true, and it wasn't. She said that something. This person said something that said that people with people with this disorder, they like to go off their meds. That those kinds of people like to. No, we said Carrie likes to go off her meds. That's what we said. So we're talking about a character, and a lot of the times, actually, everything I heard from last week with you and me, we were talking about Carrie's bipolar disorder.
We were specifically talking about Carrie. It's not a generalization.
And we do know that everybody is different. Every bipolar disorder, every human being has a different disease.
There are symptoms, and we're not familiar with them. But at the same time,
that's what I'm saying.
The other thing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Is Carrie is in a high pressure situation working that even somebody who doesn't have any afflictions or any medical conditions probably would have a lot of stress on the job. I think Claire Danes is playing spectacular because she's playing Carrie Matheson. She's not playing a person with bipolar disorder. So let's not pigeon. And I'm saying this to us as well as to anyone else. I'm not trying to pigeonhole her and make an excuse that everything has to do with bipolar disorder.
Right.
This is Carrie Matheson.
Fairness, we're talking about the story that these writers and actors and these artists are creating for us to talk about.
And have presented to the audience.
So what they are giving us is what we are commenting on, not the disease on its own, not a standalone comment on bipolar disorder. And I don't think that, and let me just say this, I don't think that we've ever made any weird or ignorant assumptions about this disease. I don't think any of us have ever claimed to say we know about this. I think we are commenting on the show.
The one time that I think we actually said something, I don't want to call it out, but a couple episodes you said she was crazy, and we corrected that right away
said she was crazy.
You said something that she was acting crazy, and we stopped that right away. But it wasn't even, in my opinion, it wasn't.
I don't think I related it to bipolar disorder.
No, you're just saying it in general.
Didn't. But what I was going to say is, I think crazy is a cop out. It's easy to make a character crazy in any TV show or whatever. If someone's acting different than we expect it to, and crazy is just saying I don't know what they're doing, so that's what I'm labeling them.
Right. And I have also read that they have a staff of people on this show that know and have extensively researched bipolar disorder, and this is how that they are, you know, helping create this character to be realistic. Yeah. And there has been. People who have the disease that have written into the show saying how accurately it's portrayed. So I still think even what we're seeing is what I have assumed is an accurate representation of somebody with the disease, and we know it's different for everybody, but again, we are commenting on a show.
Well, I've noticed one or two comments saying they don't agree with what the writer's perception is, but regardless of that, we're talking about a show. It's an opinion. Well, it's an opinion, and some people have better knowledge of it than us, and I will gladly admit that.
Right.
So I just ask that we don't tiptoe around the subject, and we talk about Carrie Matheson as a person and who she is, and we make assumptions like the audience out there is making assumptions. I'm guessing that you as an audience member, and talking to a royal is not have a medical opinion like this either.
Of course.
Yeah. And on that, let's just move on. But I wanted to bring that up because I noticed this affecting our conversation.
I also think that's the beauty of having this platform. Mm-hmm. You know, you can come in and comment. You can say whatever you like.
Yeah.
And if you have something to share that's going to bring knowledge.
And I welcome it.
Bring a
We want to know. Of course, we want to know what you guys think and feel and how you are, you know, reacting to what we're seeing on the show.
But I think calling us ignorant is just as bad as you saying that we're calling Carrie a certain thing because we're labeling her as bipolar.
None of us are claiming to be experts on this disease. So just
in
make
fact,
us,
if
as
you
long
guys want to chime in on this subject matter right now, you can call in 424-256-1729, 424-256-1729. You can call and talk to myself, Nando, Lauren, or Stefan, who's just recently dropped in on this whole subject matter.
Don't call me.
And we can discuss it.
Give him the heat.
And,
no problem.
And in conjunction with this, thank you for watching and listening and rating us on iTunes. Even if you're not agreeing with what we're saying, or thank you for trying to give us information on this, but we like to keep the conversation going with you guys.
Yes.
Tell a friend.
Yes.
And anything is, you know, we like to hear what you're saying, good or bad. So we're trying to, you know, talk about the show and relate to you guys and vice versa. So thank you for doing that.
Okay. Well, enough said about that. Until it comes up again later on the show. Until they present it as something that's part of the show.
But Carrie's turn, like I said, was surgical, pretty much. From seeing the moment when she was in there and she was all nervous and Javadi could see that she was lying.
Right.
And then she didn't want to reveal anything with people in the room. And once she got
them
out.
But was that an act, though?
I think she was definitely nervous. I don't know if she really triggered the lie detector to be a certain way so she could trigger it. But
yeah, I feel like you're right. I feel like she was nervous and went, okay, I got to take control, take a deep breath,
again,
get these dudes out.
I feel the meds might have had the lack of meds might have had something to do with it because she was more, nervous.
But isn't it all of our perceptions that agents, CIA / FBI or whatever, are trained to beat these kinds of tests?
I thought so too.
I mean, they haven't shown us that on the show.
Yeah.
But isn't that like our perception?
So maybe then,
we just know she's going to beat the test. Like, she's a trained operative. Like,
so maybe then she was just letting her, not doing the exercises they give you to control your heart rate and keep the nerves down. She was just letting go and then realized, This is a good way to get these guys out, because she knew what she was going to say to him.
Well, just like Nando said, like, she surgically like broke down the whole scenario.
Yeah, I think it was all set up.
And she got them out of the room, the extra guys out of the room, and just like when they were outside by the ninth hole, the west corner of the ninth hole, whatever, and they were having that conversation, and they were just like, look, this is brass tacks, and it was pretty much like, not like she's made, but it was like, okay, the cover's dropped, and they're like just talking mano a mano or whatever. Yeah. It's like, well,
I think he expected.
I need a certain protocol to go this way, otherwise they're going to get suspicious and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So
I knew something was up when that was going down.
It's like, what's his deal?
Yeah,
but at least now we know to jump ahead and then jump back. At least now we know why he was staking out with the burger, watching that house.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because me and Nando were talking about that last week. We're like, well, something's going to come up
with
that house.
Yeah.
And who is that baby? And
exactly. So he's really a creepy dude.
Super creepy.
So Javadi is, he's really, really
he's
creepster.
He's a creeper.
He's a creepster. So
it's worse than a creeper. Man,
come
he's
to find out, he's
stage nine creeper.
He has this thing with Saul that's personal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They go back.
Mm-hmm.
Back to what? 79?
Yeah, 79.
Something like that.
So that's like, what, 40 and some change years?
That's like 5,000 years ago.
And they were already agents, so. I mean, they're like in their 20s, 30s.
Back then, they were young agents. Yeah.
So apparently this guy has already, he's already turned.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's totally alone, because he was on the side, he was working with Saul.
Right.
Then he turned against Saul, and now his own country is, he's been embezzling money. So he has nowhere to go. So right. this
but
is
they
like,
don't know he's been embezzling money
yet.
Well, but
the only thing they could do is expose him. But how much weight would that hold, for one? And then secondly,
well, he can't go back there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He can't go back
there. Yeah, but I mean,
and now he's in a place where he turned against. So he's like, he's in no man's land. He doesn't have nowhere to go.
But he came to the States, remember, so he can meet with Carrie and then work whatever the operation that he's planning to work out.
He's
so
still he's still intelligent officer.
He's still the man as far as they're concerned over there. Like, they haven't taken it as far as exposing him on that side.
But Saul could probably just give that. He could threaten him with that right now.
Yeah, so what's the upside for him? I don't even know where he goes.
Well, for who?
For Javadi.
Javadi.
Well, he turns as a U.S. asset. That's what they turn him for, a U.S. asset. I mean,
but
that's not the upside.
I mean, if you give up all that information to the U.S., then you still do
he has to
what?
Be so
like
what was the point of going and murdering everybody? Is that so he's like,
well,
look,
that's
I have no
personal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, personal, but I have nowhere to go. Well, why is that personal? Why would he murder?
Because remember, Saul said, I got revenge on him by saving his wife.
And son.
And son.
But it's that was personal. Okay. All right.
So
yeah,
he got his
Saul.
Revenge back, I guess, by taking the life.
So, but he knows if he goes in and murders these people,
that's
then
what I'm
he's
saying.
Toast. So,
what's his upside?
Well,
so
but wait, but why is he toast?
But wait, though. But now if, how is he going to get out of that? He has nowhere to go.
They're not going to try to say. They covered it up.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So he knows he can do that.
Here's what I think. The reason why, if we're going to talk about him murdering his daughter-in-law
and his ex-wife,
the reason why I think he did that was because that was the leverage that Saul had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw it at the very end. He was getting back at, all right, fine. You're going to use me as an asset. You have me in a corner because you know I've embezzled. Well, let me take away your bit of revenge. This was his trophy from that incident back in 79 when Javadi took those four people and shot him in the head. His revenge, his trophy, was taking his wife and son from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now he took that away. So it's almost Javadi's way of saying, fine, you don't call all the shots.
Right.
I can still do whatever hell
and
I want.
And they're not going to take Javadi out because he has information they need.
They need
so
him
he
as
knows
an
he
asset.
Can do whatever he wants.
They need him as an asset.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that was just... remember also, one of the things that I actually circled that Saul said was about him is that survival is the only thing on his mind. And I could see this being a survival tactic, being...
Sure.
In other words, saying, I'm not going to just bow down and let you do whatever the hell you want to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a chess match.
I agree. It's a total chess match. match right now.
Yeah.
But what I loved was, we'll get into ahead of it, but I just loved, I love Saul's reaction to that. But yeah, I'm getting way too fast to that.
It's okay.
But I love that. And also, just even when he was talking with Carrie, to bring it back to Carrie, when they were outside by the golf course and Carrie got really, really aggressive with him, he's like, Saul should have told you
to treat me with more respect.
This is a man.
Make it quick.
Make it quick. He's an intelligent officer. He still has a lot of pride. He's not just, as Saul even said it, he's not just going to bow down. He's stubborn. He's not just going to bow down and accept this. This is him fighting back.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's why I knew when that exchange was going down, I was like, something's up, dude. He is not going along with the plan. Like, that was obvious. He wasn't just going to.
Well, obviously, something was up when he had her escorted and they dropped her off without them even having
but even in that little that overlooking the golf course conversation, it was like obvious that he was like, you could see his wheels turning, devising a plan to like get himself out of there so he could go do what he needed to go take care of business and do some murdering.
Well, Peter Quinn said this is just the beginning, very clearly.
Sure,
so it's like, this is going to be a diabolical plan that unfolds in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Well, you can see it. I mean, if this guy really has something to do with the CIA agency bombing and everything else that's going on, then you know that this is just the beginning of a series of events
that's
going to unfold.
We're all in agreement that he is the new
Abu Nazir.
I'm not sure about that either. Because here's the one problem I had with this episode in relation to Javadi. I thought before this episode that Javadi was the new Abu Nazir, but now we find out he's an intelligence officer for Iran.
And he's second in command.
Well, he's almost like the new Brody then, maybe.
Yeah, he's more like the new, well, in a way, he's more like, I don't even know if I call him Brody, but he's a middleman.
Sure.
Now, all of a sudden, he feels to me more like a middleman because not only is he not like, does he answer to somebody else, but also, he just doesn't have
he's
that
got
much
stuff
power.
On so many different people. I think he's going to start unraveling and just telling on everybody.
Yeah.
I want to see
No, you're right. He's not. He doesn't feel as like heavy and scary as the Abu, like the elusive Abu Nazir.
It's almost like they're making Iran into Abu Nazir, or at least the government of Iran, because everyone's behind
him
anyway. But I'm really curious how they do that. Again, I really feel like we need a good terrorist villain.
And now
Javadi kind of lost a little bit with. I mean, he's great. He's going to be a really awesome cog in there to just screw things around. But I kind of was like, oh man, I thought he was the next.
Well,
Abu
we
Nazir.
All have to know too that just because they killed Abu Nazir, it's not like, well, problem solved. Like there's
it's a network.
Yeah.
It's complicated. It's a network.
And there is a guy that I'm sure will come. He'll surface. They keep saying that Javadi is the second in command. Second in command. Second in command. So that means there's somebody looming.
Yeah, that's Abu Nazir, the new Abu Nazir.
That's the new Abu.
Somebody
who's the new
Abu
Nazir? Somebody, we need one.
Come forward.
We need an Abu Nazir.
I'm happy with Javadi right now. I just feel like he lost a little bit on my
eyes.
But I think the knowledge he'll share is going to pump him back up. He'll be back high on our list in
a
little bit.
He might get scary again.
Who knows? You know what? The way that Saul's working this, they might be creating a monster. Like, we did not realize how violent this man could be.
Sure.
Even Peter Quinn was like, you stabbed her with a bottle?
Yeah.
Like, did you
that's
see
personal.
Him? Like,
when somebody does that, it's
wait,
personal.
Why?
Because he had a gun.
He didn't know the daughter-in-law. He just killed her. Not personal. He didn't know her. Shot her. Right?
Yeah.
He broke a bottle, put the gun down on the counter,
right.
Broke a bottle,
and
stabbed the ex-wife. That's personal.
Like, repeatedly.
Psychologically, just when it comes to, that's personal.
You're right.
So, yeah, maybe I stand correct. Maybe he
but
is
not
the
that
officer.
We're not that we're making comments about the psychology of a murderer. Like we pretend we don't know
let's get off of that.
OMG.
Let's get off of that.
I mean,
still, it seems like he's created a monster in a way.
Sure.
He's definitely set him up. This nice guy, this skinny guy in a suit. You figured he's prone to violence, but I really could not expect what I expected.
I was shocked. I was on the edge of my seat for that one.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't know if it's just me. I want to ask the audience. Do they feel, or do you guys feel, and I want you guys to answer this question, do you feel like the Javadi plot and how they've connected everything is kind of loose? It's not so tightly wound as the Abu Nazir storyline and plot line. Like for me, like first they come up with the six assets. After they just start the season off, there's six assets. Saul goes after them. He gets all of them but one. To me, they haven't quite connected the dots as far as how to keep the audience in a step-by-step pace as far as knowing
this
guy.
Yeah, I feel a little in the dark.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know how the audience feels about that, because that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm kind of like, okay, where is this guy? Okay, and how is he connected? They know
it's obviously a writing tactic.
It's not wound tight.
It's not
for me. Abu Nuzir, we knew. Like, we knew it was,
right.
You know, yes. Even though there was twists and turns, we didn't always know what was going to happen. We knew what the end goal was.
I think that's the problem. I think there's a desire to have that one villain that they got to go get, and we don't have that right now, so it feels a little floppy.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
I'd still feel stronger than it did the first three episodes of the season, obviously. So we're starting to get more. I'm digging it. So.
But even Brody's kind of like out there on a limb a little bit. Right. Where he's starting to fade. He's in Venezuela, for crying out loud.
He's on Heron.
There's definitely a shift in the bad side of things. Like,
sure.
Brody is now, like, not even, he's been in, like, one or two episodes. And again, we don't, we don't feel like we have a bad guy. Whereas all through season one and two, like, it was very, like we just said, clear who we were going after. So it's a transition, but I mean, I'm sure they're getting somewhere with it, like they always do, you know?
Hmm. Yeah.
We're talking about Saul. We were talking about Saul earlier, and, you know, how Saul, you know, has a personal connection and tie with this guy. And Saul, you know, obviously we saw where he gave him the palm check to the nose after, you know, it seems like Saul always gets all these emotions built up from everything, whether it has to do with, you know, collateral issues with his job, stuff at home with his wife, anything that has to do with Carrie. It's like, dude, why don't you just screw your wife, you know,
but
be harder on Carrie or do it, you know, it's just like, he's losing his, you know, that whole situation at home with him and his wife is just, to me, I feel like he's perpetuating his own misery at home.
Yeah.
Well, that's just how I feel about it. I don't know how you guys feel about it, or I know how you guys feel about it at home.
Well,
I just feel like Saul is perpetuating his own misery.
Like he can fix that problem.
I feel like it's fixable, but he's not doing anything about it.
What I love about that scene in the beginning, first of all, is I was calling it last week, and I said, I love angry Saul. I love pissed off Saul when he was doing that whole thing. And his wife's pretty much saying the same exact thing I was saying.
Right.
Why don't you get mad about something? Here she is having an affair with somebody, and she's talking about it to him, and he's just like, so.
Okay, well, this is the problem with Saul the entire time. Like, since these characters have been introduced, and especially his relationship with his wife, is who does he love more, the CIA or her? Mm. And we watched him season one and two, like, ignore her, and she begged and begged and begged and begged, which led her to this affair.
Hmm.
And that's her excuse. And he, right now, both things are being taken away from him.
Right.
She and the CIA. And he's I don't know that he's done, but he's just like he doesn't know what
to. But the CIA never left him.
They have they're turning their back a little bit.
He knows that it's in question.
But I mean, like in the past 2 years, he's always been wrapped up in his work. His work's been the one thing that's never said, I'm taking a vacation from you. I mean, now what's coming up is coming up, but. Yeah. He gets to fight that.
I think he's reached his limit though with the palm to the face. Yeah. Saul is now about. I'm serious.
Well, that was him mad. That was
him now turning that corner. He's like, okay, enough of all of this. You know,
Henry in the chat actually said that when Javadi killed his daughter-in-law, it's pretty much he was punching Saul first. That was his way of punching Saul first, which I thought was a really good analogy.
Right.
That was
a good analogy.
This is the thing, though. He's fighting. He went in there and actually physically fought, but when his wife was begging him to fight for her, he just turned around and walked out the door.
Exactly. That's weird.
He's never fought for her, though. Mm. Well, I mean, he did a little bit when she was saying she was going back to India, and he was like, no, don't leave. But you always kind of felt like it was like half-assed, because it's like the CIA was over here and he was like, don't leave, but hold on, I got to go do something at
work. No, it's more like she's over here and everything is about the CIA.
Yeah.
It's like he just wants that security blanket, but in the end of the day, it's kind of like,
okay,
well, you're going to go to India, huh?
Mm.
Mumbai.
Have fun.
All right, you know,
go
postcard.
Hang out with your boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Holla. She's brought into his own. Now, how do you guys feel about that?
Wait,
the
hold
fact
on.
That she has the new guy.
I have a question.
Yes.
Did she think that he was going to be gone for like a week or something?
Why? Well, he was gone. He was out of town.
Okay, but why?
He went to the lame duck hunt.
He
came home early after he made a speech.
Which turned out to be a goose hunt.
How much earlier? That was pretty ballsy of her.
Well, yeah. She figured she had one more night. You know, she'd get a little bit more in before.
Una noche.
They had the wine set up and the candles.
It was a romantic dinner.
Yes.
He was kind of hot, too. I'm not going to lie.
If only he walked in an hour later.
He seemed like a young Saul, though, didn't it? He was kind
of
like,
no. Oh, okay. No. I might be better
I'm reaching.
Yeah, you're reaching.
He didn't even have any facial hair.
She went a whole different direction with the boyfriend.
Mm. Okay.
That's what I think.
But honestly, I think she really is in love with Saul. I just think
she couldn't admit that she was in love with the other guy.
Right.
She said, tell me, he's fun.
Yeah.
I have a good, like,
he makes
he's
me
fun.
Laugh. I have fun, but, and he makes every day feel better.
But
something.
Again, she wants him every to day show with him some emotion.
He wants that to
he
be Saul.
He lacks passion. Yeah. He lacks the passion that she needs.
The She's passion in mm-hmm. personal life. Yeah, right. Passion in the personal life.
But if
yeah.
you think about it, part of the reason why, and this is not to give him an excuse for not being the husband he should be to his wife, but in the line of work that he's in, you really can't get too emotional.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is a lifestyle mm-hmm. that is a means and matter of survival.
Sure.
So you're saying she should have a level of understanding.
Yeah,
for that.
Well, it's not so much understanding. I think she does have a level of understanding. That's why she's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. Because in his line of work, you're getting emotionally involved or allowing your emotions to take precedent in the workplace could be the difference in life and death.
Totally.
So you have to make business decisions all the time. You're constantly making business choices. And to actually just exist in that way,
but
it's going to affect
what,
home. It's going to affect every other aspect of his life.
And I agree with you, but I think that what makes Saul and Carrie unique, and even Quinn, unique within the agency is that they do have a lot of emotion involved in some of their decisions, which is why David Estes David Estes character or this new guy, what's his name, Lockhart, they're just like, nope, no emotions. They're like jerk-offs. And and these people are like, you know, obviously, and it helps as an audience member to have, they have to have emotion or we would have no connection to them. Like, when David Estes died, we were like, oh. If Lockhart died, we'd be like, oh, but we're emotionally invested in these guys.
I was actually annoyed that Estes died in the bombing.
Why?
Because I wanted Quinn to shoot him in the head in the bedroom.
I did too. I know. Sure.
I wanted him to get him there. Because to me, I had this personal like thing with Estes. Yeah. And I really wanted him not to go out. A general, oh, he died in general bomb.
Like, it was he got off too
he
easy.
Died
exactly.
He died a hero with a bunch of other people.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, from a writer standpoint, you need to give these characters emotion because we have to connect to them. But also, that's what makes them unique within the agency is that they have this emotion. And then it keeps you on the edge of your seat because you're not wondering if they let their emotions get involved. It's risky and...
We can't have everybody be emotional. I mean, Claire Danes plays a character that is so all over the place and so big.
So many levels.
So it's like they allow her to have the colors and everybody else is kind of black and white.
But Saul has colors for what we would expect him out of his job. Like we're saying, you got to have a lack of emotion. But I think for his job, he does allow emotion to come in sometimes, and we just saw it tonight.
I mean,
that's what makes it good.
You got to think. He has a 40-year-old operation that was proven successful. If these people live out their normal, regular lives till they have their normal, natural deaths, or like, you know, the wife and the daughter-in-law didn't die in a car crash.
Do you think that this is like? Do you think that this is like his Brody, like Carrie, like she's going to be obsessed with Brody until there's like an answer.
I think this is his Brody. I think Carrie to Brody is Saul to Javadi. I really do agree because there's a history there. Yeah. There's a rivalry of some sorts. It's not the same exact thing, obviously.
No, not the same. I'm just saying in their minds, it's the same. It holds the same weight.
Yeah. This is what's going to be
their mission, their life mission.
Yeah. This is going to be taking Saul off balance. Obviously, with this chess match, Saul's going to be so much off balance. We're going to see a lot more.
Enter Lockhart.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have him in captivity now.
Yeah.
So he's in custody, and this is where the chess match really begins. And then, like you said, Lauren, Quinn said it himself, that this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we're going to really see the game, the mental and psychological gameplay between Saul.
We're gonna get a lot of taste of that, like we did with Brody.
And don't forget, there's a time limit here too for Saul because Lockhart takes over within 2 weeks.
12 days.
So he has a lot.
12 days.
He has a lot that he's got to do. 12 days. He's got a lot that he's got to do before Lockhart takes over.
Lockhart, watch. 12 days.
I was feeling like because of that, this is gonna all be compromised a little bit because there's only 12 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much can you get done?
And notice.
But they've can work under the gun. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, notice even though Dar's left out of this operation, but notice that Lockhart's already getting his claws into Dar, and that Dar's that phone call between Dar and Saul. Dar was not really forthcoming. Like, right, who knows what? Yeah, who knows what he's thinking?
Saul doesn't know. I mean, Dar doesn't know what's going on with Saul, and Farrah comes out of the house screaming, "We need you back here!" Whatever she said, and he's like, "I gotta go." He's like, "What's really going on?"
Yeah,
I mean, he's usually the guy that's called when. You don't want anybody else to know what's going on. And he's in the dark. He doesn't know what's going on.
Does anyone get a little nervous about Farrah, how emotional she gets? I think she's a good actress, but she's, like, always crying. It's like, honey, get it together.
Well, I think they're going to show, like, some type of family tie.
Okay, say that for predictions, because I'm with you.
That's what
on
I
that.
Thought as well.
No, don't try and take that prediction, Thaddeus.
I mean, that to me would be the obvious. There's some kind of connection.
You picked the most.
She was emotional.
Stop it. You pick. I am talking now. You picked the most specific predictions and say that they're like obvious, and then you say shit like.
No, you picked the obvious predictions. You picked the obvious predictions.
Let's say predictions for predictions. Right. How about that? Let's say that for the end of the show. Let's say predictions for predictions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of twists and turns.
No,
not yet.
No, you are not predicting. First, you go last.
No, I'm not. I'll go last. I'm fine.
We still got more shows.
I might not go
about.
At all. I'll just let you talk.
We still got more this episode to talk about. Let's keep going.
Okay, so let's continue to talk about Carrie. Let's go back to Carrie.
Yeah.
Let's finish with the doll first.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Okay. So obviously something is going to get stirred up with the doll and this Lockhart character.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Lockhart is up to no good.
But are you guys? I'm always like this on the show. Like, okay, is a doll like pretending to be on his side so that he can like. You never know.
He's
like
a doll
is sinister. Lockhart, I think, is going to be a little bit more stupid. You know, he thinks he's the boss.
Totally.
He thinks he knows what's
going
on.
But I'm saying, like, are we going to find out that a doll's like, I'm on your side, Lockhart, and then acting towards the audience, like, on the phone with Saul, like, he didn't say much, but really, in the end, he's still
play
on Saul's side. No,
uh-huh.
maybe he's still on Saul's side.
Oh.
But also, I mean, Peter Quinn's involved there, too. That's a prediction. We'll get into that later.
We did see something for next episode that with Dar and
Peter
Quinn.
Yeah, because he, yeah, but I,
you're right.
Yeah.
She's got a whole thing about Peter Quinn, but that's for later.
Right.
That's for after the show.
So
after,
let's talk about Carrie. And these bazillion pregnancy tests that were sitting in the drawer.
Carrie's pregnant.
She's pregnant with Brody's baby.
So at first I thought it was the redhead guy that she hooked up with.
But then
stooped.
When we see all those.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Yeah, that's that hair.
Dude, why did? Wait, no, I know because my brain was going faster than my mouth. So people who were watching could see what was happening. It
the
was
guy
an
she
epiphany.
Gave a blow vacation
on,
that you were
the
talking
blow vacation.
About.
The blow guy vacation. On the there is a reason why they made that guy look like Brody.
Yeah.
Oh, you just came about that now?
No,
I knew that before.
No, we talked about the fact that she might be attracted to men that look
like that. Yeah.
Okay, but now you didn't know she was pregnant, so you can't say that. There's a reason why they made that guy look like Brody
because she was pregnant even when she was stipping.
So
him?
let's just say she has.
I don't know why I said stipping.
No, listen.
Because I said it.
Let's just say Carrie has the baby. Okay.
Okay.
And like she has a baby with red hair. She's going to be like, oh, it's Brody's or this guy that I had sex with on the stairs that looks exactly like Brody.
Bum, bum, bum.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason why they made these two actors look alike.
If she dated him and started parading him around the office,
that'd be different.
Yeah, then I think she'd be like trying to throw it that way. But this is somebody that nobody else knows. I get what you're saying.
I'm saying for her own sake to identify whose child this is. It's not like she had sex with a black guy on the stairs and then she was having sex with Brody on the side.
Black guys
it's
both
not
going to
be
like,
or an Asian
well,
guy.
Have sex with a black guy.
Well, sex with a black guy.
Okay.
I think I'm all for it. I'm just saying, you don't get what I mean.
I understand what you're saying. But obviously, this guy just represented a filler. You know, she's just looking
a
for
filler.
The,
but there's
the
also a reason why they.
I don't think she's going to deny it. I don't think she's going to deny that it's Brody's baby.
It's Brody's baby. How many pregnancy tests were in the drawer?
And that's another thing, too. It's like she's been taking them for that long.
I love the fact that she had all those because she's such an analyst and she has so many facts. It's almost kind of like one of those walls with all those clippings.
Sure,
it's like,
here's
today's pregnancy test and she just
has all stinks, too.
Pregnancy test 73.
Yeah.
She's peed on every single one of them. That drawer stinks.
I think she's taking one every day, though, instead of like a whole long period of time.
But I think the point of that was to show how long she has known she's pregnant.
So that we would know it's Brody.
So that we would know it was Brody.
Because at first we thought it was the redheaded guy from the convenience store. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at that. No, it's got to be
Maybe
Brody.
She's going to try and make it.
She doesn't like look pregnant, though.
But you guys do understand that she absolutely cannot have a baby. She can't go through 9 months of pregnancy. It just can't happen.
Well,
but also
see what's going on right now.
They, when she was in, when they had to put her back into the, what's the correct word for it? I don't want to get in trouble.
The psych ward.
Yeah,
that's what she went to.
They put her on heavy medication.
Right.
I don't know what that does.
She's going to miscarry this baby.
I mean, that's what
lithium,
I'm saying.
Lithium, right? It was lithium, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the drugs, I'm sure.
I think she took more than one drug.
Well, there's a cocktail that they give to bipolar patients, and they're all different. But lithium is one of the main drugs they use. And,
well, here's an interesting thought.
I don't think you can take that when you're...
Here's an interesting thought. Did they give her a physical at all once she was in the psych ward? Because then they would have known she was pregnant, too.
Right. And they have to.
I don't know if they have to or not, but I would assume that if you're in a hospital, even if it's for mental reasons, that they're still going to give you an examination.
But you know what? They ask you questions like, as a woman, they say, are you pregnant? And you say, no. And then sometimes they'll give you... I've been asked that question before, and they give you drugs that you are not... They didn't make me take a pregnancy test, but if they give me this medication, it is severely harmful.
And maybe that's why she stopped taking the meds last episode, too, because she knew that.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I feel like maybe it would be a little more extensive in a psych ward than you're in a doctor's office. I'm going to give you this antibiotic that would mess with the pregnancy. But they sometimes just ask you, are you pregnant? Yes or no? No. And then that's your answer.
So Carrie going to do with this baby?
She cannot have the baby.
You're saying
saving
no.
Saving it for predictions.
Okay. Carrie's baby. Oh,
but crazy that she's pregnant. She is freaking pregnant.
She's pregnant.
I know. Big shocker.
I just don't like that she doesn't look pregnant based on the timeline that how long she should have been pregnant.
Well,
shouldn't she have been pregnant for like 5 or 6 months? Right?
I mean,
based on the timeline from how long ago was the bombing?
At least three or four months, I think.
We were trying to rehash.
I thought it was like five or six months.
They said it. What was it? Maybe you guys can call in or.
Yeah, please. You guys can let us know.
But Adal referred to it in the first episode, I believe, when he said that it's been however many days or whatever since this bombing, and they still haven't fixed, you know.
In comparison to the Pentagon after 9/11.
I feel like instinctually it's been a couple of months. Three, maybe?
I'd say three. I think it's three.
Every woman's different, but a lot of women don't start showing until four or five months, maybe.
That's why I was just trying to get a timeline on that, because it just seemed unclear.
Yeah.
But she has a gazillion pregnancy tests in this drawer.
I mean, you could take 10 pregnancy tests in one day, so technically, but I think the point...
I mean, yeah, you can.
The
point, that's very OCD.
Well, she is a little neurotic-ish.
Yeah, she is.
And I think...
she was like, dope! Open the door, throw it in there.
The point of them showing that was to show time. So that's what they're doing.
Perfect example of that. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I agree.
Her being pregnant is a great twist, though.
So good.
It's cool.
A nice shocker,
and it's actually keeping Brody in our minds, because Brody was kind of fading out there.
Well, since out of sight, out of mind,
right.
The closest way of doing that.
And I got to give Lauren credit; she did say that Dana was going to get pregnant, but somebody got pregnant.
Hey, and I was closer than you.
It's Carrie.
I have a Dana prediction too. I feel like I need to write these all down.
Okay, so let's talk about Dana since you brought her up.
Oh, Dana's so annoying.
I feel like Dana, the writers are trying to gracefully help her.
I disagree.
Move on with her life as an actress.
Yeah,
I think as an actress. Yeah.
I mean, okay, you disagree. Go ahead.
Dana's
go ahead, Lauren. I want to hear this.
Okay. Dana's even sick of Dana.
Dana, I'm sick of watching her pull her sleeves over her hands.
Dana's sick of being Dana.
Tell us what you think.
The reason why I don't think they're writing her off is because I just have a weird instinct about the moment when she was getting her name changed, and I'll talk about the mother,
Jessica.
But I was going to say like the mothering aspect there that was happening. But when they were changing her name and she was about to sign the document, and they said, she said, is this all I have to do? And the guy said, yes, it's that easy. And then Jessica stepped in and said, how long does it take? And he said, like 3 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I really feel like there's a reason why they said that. Something is going to happen within that time frame that's going to allow this to not have gone through, or she's not going to go through with it. And so I think they're letting you think they're removing her from the show, but I think I know how they're going to draw her back in, is my opinion.
Okay. But she is going to take a temporary hiatus.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I yeah, of course. And I think maybe we're all kind of sick of her and a little bit. I am.
A lot of people are.
Teenage drama that clearly is like more than just average teenage drama. I get it's very severe. She tried to kill herself, and it's a horrible thing. But it's just like, ugh. The angst. It's like, I can't.
And it was kind of abrupt. It was like, I'm going to stay with this random black
family. And that's what I want to say.
I was like, okay. First of all, Dana.
I thought it was a good move. I thought it was a good move in the fact that she goes to her mom and she says, I want to change my name, which is a shocker. And then she says, I want to take your maiden name, Lazarin. So that seemed like they were both bonding.
Right.
And then it turns out, I mean, I want to get rid of everything about me, which means I get away from you.
The lack of control that, and I get, I'm not pretending to know, I'm not a mother, but the lack of control that is happening there with Jessica and Dana, and then the poor brother that just sits there like mute in the background. I just feel like it's so annoying. She's like, I want to change my name. And Jessica's like, okay, not like, well, she just lets her do whatever she wants.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, she can't tie her down, I get it.
They've already established that Dana is a very independent thinker, and she's always been more connected to her dad. Yep. And she's always beefed and butted heads with her mom.
Right.
So now that her dad's not even in the picture,
and
he's let her down like completely and totally. Like she's on an island. She's out there by herself.
True.
She's going to do what she wants to do.
I know.
Jessica is not, she doesn't look at Jessica as a motherly figure or authoritative.
But you're right. And it's because of everything you just mentioned, but also it's because she's never clearly acted in that role to her, it doesn't seem.
Well, here's the thing. Dana's a little more socially mature than Jessica also. You see all the situations that happened last season, socially speaking, how Jessica was responding to being this new congressman's wife and all this stuff, and Dana was always calling her out. Mm-hmm. Like, you trying to fit in and blah, blah, blah. Like, she was the mom and Jessica was the teenager.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I have a problem with watching this go down. I'm going to change my name and now I'm going to move out. And it's like, okay, oh, and by the way, take this credit card.
Wait, take this.
No, Dana did pray on that on the carpet in the garage. I don't know if she tried it out. Is that nothing or is that something?
She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know.
She's modeling. Maybe she was modeling.
Maybe she was trying to channel something about what her dad, where he was at emotionally.
She was mimicking the motions, but she doesn't know the actual prayer, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But there's an opening.
But there's a curiosity there, for sure. Yes.
Most definitely.
For sure.
So, okay. So Dana is.
Bye bye, Dana.
Dana is.
For a little bit.
Gone for a minute.
Probably for a minute.
I think Dana's going to get kidnapped.
She got kidnapped by Nicole. They're not sick of her. So.
That black girl kidnapped her.
Her friend Nicole came and just swooped her up.
Her friend.
She's going to get a ransom letter next episode. That's my prediction.
Oh, jeez.
We got your daughter.
Stupid.
Come out of hiding,
daughter.
Brody.
We got your daughter, Brody.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
Brody's on heroin right now. He doesn't know anything from anything. Okay, so what else do we want to discuss? We pretty much discussed everything for this episode. Do you guys have anything else you guys want to chime in?
No, just some predictions.
I got some news, I guess.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Awesome. Thanks,
Amanda. Can't say the word like that. It
just comes right out. Claire Danes is posing topless in Interview Magazine.
Really?
Yeah, so we get to take a look at her. Yeah, she's going to be in the upcoming Interview Magazine posing topless.
Yes, scary.
So good luck for that. Look out for that one.
We kind of want to see it, but we don't. I don't know how I feel about that.
You don't know how you feel about that?
Yeah.
I think she's hot. Yeah, I think she's still hot. Yeah.
That's not my style, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we know now he's not going to be online for that.
No.
So, okay. Don't look for him in the newsstand.
That's right.
But I'm looking at a photo. Well, actually, they're not showing the top. It's from the New York Daily News, so they're not going to show it anyway. But she's looking pretty good.
I'm sure they vamped her up.
Even after a kid, she's got a great body.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah. She bounced back after she was at the Emmys or the Golden Globes last year, I think. Gosh, 3-4 weeks after she had the baby, she was on.
Was that the Golden Globes or was it the Emmys?
I think it was the Golden Globes.
It was the Golden Globes.
And she looked like incredible. Amazing.
Wow. Yeah. She definitely keeps her figure really well.
Of course she does.
Well, Hollywood. Claire, will we be looking out for you and your toplessness?
And then also, when she's not appearing topless, she's also going to be hosting the Nobel Peace Prize concert coming up.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Actually kind of dope.
I
like that about her.
Now you want to see her
now
topless.
Now you're interested.
I'm attracted to her mind.
Uh-huh.
That's what they all say.
What a gentleman.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's cool. Awesome. So that's pretty much it. That's what I got.
Awesome. Okay, okay. Claire Danes doing her thing. We're gonna move right into predictions. Okay, so episode 7, season 3, Showtime's Homeland predictions. Lauren Leonelli.
The reason why I don't think Dana is gonna disappear is because we all saw that. That Carrie is like, you cannot let anything happen to this girl. This is the only way we can connect Brody back to us. We can use her to get him, whatever. Okay. So I don't think that they're going to let her go because of that. But once Carrie... Okay, I'm going out on a ledge. She's going to discover that she's pregnant. It's Brody's baby. She knows that it is. And that's how Dana's going to go off on the run. Carrie's going to try and come back and say, so, you know, what's going on with Dana? We need to keep her safe to Jessica. Jessica's going to be like, I don't know where she went. And Carrie's going to be like, God, we got to get her back. If she admits that she's got this half-brother sister coming, it's going to draw Dana back in. Then she doesn't have to change her name. And it's all that's why I think it's going to go on there. This pregnancy, this half-sibling that is about to, maybe won't ever happen, like you're saying. I don't know that the baby's going to actually ever be born, but it's going to draw her back in. And they have to keep Dana in the picture because there's no connection to Brody. They got to draw him back in with her.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Stefan predicted a miscarriage.
I did. I don't approve. I'm not saying that's something.
Don't apologize.
I want to happen, but yeah. I can't see her having a baby on this show.
I agree with you on that, too.
You know, I kind of agree with you on that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, and that's also her way. I mean, we haven't seen Brody in a while. It's also their way to get Brody back in the picture as well with Carrie saying, I am pregnant with your child.
Yeah. But considering everything she's going through right now and all the stress and everything, I just can't see
Nobody
that.
Nobody knows she's pregnant. Nobody knows.
Mm. Not even Saul.
Not even Saul.
Apparently, as far as we know. My prediction is, you guys were just about to hit it, that her new roommate that she's moving into, that Dana's moving into the city, she looks kind of, you know what, she could pass as Venezuelan to me. So I kind of feel like she is going to, I do kind of feel like Dana's going to get kidnapped or taken down. Wait, down in Venezuela.
Ew. You think the black girl looks kind of Venezuelan?
I think she can pass for Latina. Well, I think she can. But
you can be black and be Venezuelan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But either way, I don't think that roommate is on the up and up. I think Dana's in trouble with this person. We just don't know it yet. So she's either a CIA agent, but I kind of think she kind of works more.
And clearly Dana trusts people like way more than she should, considering what goes on in her life. She went off with this murderer boyfriend and she's like, she's my friend, and she's just going to go live with her. Oh, come on, people.
If they incorporate Dana more to the plot on that level, I will sincerely be annoyed.
And I'm sticking.
I'll be like, really?
And I'm also sticking to my prediction that Brody will not be seen until episode 8.
So why did you pick episode 8?
I thought you were episode 7.
No, you were episode 7.
Was it episode 7?
Was the end of this
episode. He was episode 6,
so he was gone.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, I say 8.
Okay,
so.
Well, my prediction is my prediction is kind of obvious. I'm not going to go out on the limb. I'm just to think I know we're going to see more of the shenanigans that Dar and Lockhart are going to concoct.
Oh, I have another prediction.
Okay.
Peter Quinn is going to go like rogue from Adar, like completely and totally, like, doesn't want anything to do with him. I know he kind of already has disconnected himself and is working more with Saul, but he's like done with that. Him.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of think so. The new CIA agent that is the Muslim girl, what's her name?
Farah.
I think that she is...
She's related somehow.
Related.
That's why she's getting so emotional. I agree with you, too.
Yes.
That was my question.
And I don't know how exactly, but it ties into this whole thing. Her family line, her bloodline.
Yeah, somehow.
Her bloodline.
And I just have to say that I won in predictions this week.
We had two to one for
she
everybody.
She thinks she
else.
Wins at everything. She just calls herself.
I let you win that one week.
Let me win.
You see this language? She won again. She won again by letting you win.
You are the self-proclaimed of everything in your life, aren't you?
No, 2-1.
It's so funny.
She's holding it down.
Where can we find you guys until next week?
I'm Lauren Leonelli, and you can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, and my website, and I'm the Prediction Queen.
I'm Stephon Wallace. You can find me on Twitter. I am more fire. Yep.
Good
All right, and I'm Nando Velasquez. You can find me on Twitter at Nandovel, NANDOVEL.
And I am Club Thaddeus, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time, After Buzzers.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.